Deuteronomy was the second law. That's what it means, deuteros nomos, the second law. And Moses, you could argue, gave the whole speech that you've got transcribed in Deuteronomy on the last day of his life. That's why he has a great intensity whenever he uses this phrase, this day, I appeal to you today, right now. Or at best, it would have been in the last month of his life. He's at the end of his long 120 years life. And he comes to spiritual maturity. And that second giving of the law that he gives is slightly different in some points to the law that he's given before. I think you can see there his maturity as he comes to his death. And I think that when he dies, he is a tremendous type of the Lord Jesus, who came to that ultimate point of spiritual maturity when he died. Now, for example, take the theme of love. This occurs four times, this word for love, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, but Moses uses it 16 times in Deuteronomy, and I think Paul got there as well when he talks about love and says this is what the AV calls the bond of perfection. This is the ultimate point of maturity. And likewise, when you consider how he talks about your heart or your mind. He talks about the heart or the mind 49 times in Deuteronomy, only 13 times in the whole of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So he comes at the end to see that the mind, where your heart is, where your deepest core desire is, that that is what is so critically important. And so it is ultimately, because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. It is what we're thinking about when nobody notices. It's what you think about when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you lay awake on your bed, on your back maybe, looking up at the ceiling rose and in the ceiling, or whatever you do, as you drive, as you walk, as you just are in life. Where is your heart? That is the critical issue. Now, we live in a world that is full of stuff that can take up your mind. These screens that we've got are just mind feeders, really. And you've got to make some conscious decisions here about what you're going to allow into your mind. The music you listen to, lyrics of songs, they have a way of repeating back in your mind. You've got to be really careful if you want to give your heart to the Lord, because there's so much that can take that away from you in the world, particularly, I think, in which we live today. And likewise, when you think about how Moses talks about God, the phrase, the God of somebody, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, occurs about 614 times in the Old Testament, and 306 of those are in Deuteronomy. So, again, another conclusion, if you like, that Moses, admittedly under divine inspiration, came to in his final maturity is that God is my God, that all this is true for me. You see it in the life of Jacob, where until the age of 130, he's always talking about the God of my father, Isaac, the God of Abraham, his grandfather. And he even says to God when he's 77, when he's running away from his brother Esau, if you will be with me, then Yahweh will be my God, and I will give you a tenth. Always strikes me as rather mean, really, to just offer God a tenth. But I think the idea was that he was saying that who you pay your tithes to is who your king is, and I will accept you as that if you bring me back safely as you promise. And it's not until he's dying at 147 on his deathbed, blessing his sons, that he keeps talking like a child with a new toy, somebody playing with a new concept they've just got, about my God, the God of Israel. And of course, Israel was Jacob. The God of your father, he says to his sons, the rock of Israel, the rock, the God who was my God, has been my rock, etc. And again, I think this is where you get to in maturity, that all that was perhaps Sunday school Christianity, all that was someone else's ideas, you personalize and you perceive that this God is my God, that this is all wonderfully true for me. Now, Moses uses the name Yahweh in Deuteronomy over 530 times, very often Yahweh your God or Yahweh our God. So he has this deep sense of Yahweh, and it doesn't matter how you pronounce that term, Jehovah, Yahuwah, whatever, Yahweh, the pronunciation is neither here nor there. But when God first sort of reminds Moses of his name and talks about it, he is talking to Moses when Moses is faced with this apparently impossible job of getting Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness and into the promised land that was then full of obstacles, shall we say, to possessing it. And seven times around the declaration of the name of Yahweh, God says, I will bring you out. I will bring you through the wilderness. I will bring you into the promised land. I will sort out all the obstacles. I will. And he says, because my name is I will be who I will be, just as I was who I was. Because, of course, he was known by his name Yahweh before the time of Moses. And just as I am who I am right now for you, and I will be. And so the simple meaning of Yahweh is I will save you. He almost forces through his program. He almost forces through the plan of saving Israel. I say almost because I do accept that there has to be this element of free will, and if somebody really does not want to be in God's kingdom and in their hearts returns to Egypt and thinks that Egypt is the land of milk and honey, as Israel once said, you know, you took us out of a land of milk and honey, and you didn't take us to a land of milk and honey. That's a terrible thing to say, really, but if that is what they really wanted, well, then that was, I suppose, how it has to be. But for us who do believe, we who want it, but are just weak, well, there is the huge comfort that I will be, and he is for us going to, as it were, force through the program, despite our weakness,